My name is Ed Haugstad. I live at 1204 First Street South, Moorhead, Minnesota.
Okay. Ed, who were your parents and what did they do?
My parents were Mabel and Albert Haugstad, and they farmed in Trail County, North Dakota.
Where is your hometown?
My hometown, I call it Neilsville, Minnesota, but we lived on across the river in Dakota, just across the river. So that's why I always say Neilsville.
How big was your hometown?
It was about 150 people at that time.
Pretty small. Where did you go to high school?
Well, in that same town, I went to high school as a freshman the last year they had high school there. Then I went to Caledonia, which is south of our farm, about 5 miles, and graduated there. By the way, I was the third smartest in the class because there's only three of us.
What year did you graduate?
1941.
Did you go on to college?
No.
What did you do after?
Well, after that, I worked on a couple of farms, and then I went into the Army. I went to the Army in January 1945.
I understand you were drafted?
I was drafted. I volunteered for induction.
How did you feel about being drafted?
Fine. I had no qualms about it. Yeah. I was glad to go.
What branch of the service were you in?
A U.S. Infantry, but I was a paratrooper in infantry.
What was military training like?
Well, it was good for you, put it that way. It was pretty demanding in the paratroops because we started out with 1,500 and ended up with about 750.
Where did you go for training?
When basic training was in Texas, I think that was 12 weeks, and then advanced training for the paratroops was in Fort Benning, Georgia. That was, I think, 6 weeks, 4 weeks of regular training and then 2 weeks of jumping.
And where did you go from there?
From there, I went to California to be ready to go to overseas, and then in December of 1945, I went to Japan. I went in about the middle of December because I know I was on the ship during Christmas Eve, and there was only seven of us paratroopers on there, so we got guard duty. And Christmas Eve, I was alone on guard on the bow, and they sang White Christmas. Bing Crosby sang White Christmas. That was probably the only time that I ever got homesick for, you know, at that moment. But it took us about 21 days to get to Japan. And we came back in 7 days on the same kind of a ship. It was called either a Liberty or a Victory. They were the same kind of a ship, a small ship.
How many people on the ship?
Well, 1,500. It included everybody. Well, 1,500, yeah. But going over it, we were so many storms that we would go backwards for maybe a whole day. So It took a while to get there.
Any seasickness?
No. I was close to it. Mm-hmm. The first day they had me way up in what they call the crow's nest, and that thing was going back and forth. I didn't feel too good, but I got over it and I was okay.
That's good. What were some of your best memories during training?
Well, training? Oh, I don't know. I think able to keep up with the rest of them, because that was my goal in paratroop training. I felt that if the other guy could do it, I could do it. And I know one instructor, he was on me, he said, "You'll never make it." But just to be ornery, I made it. But I think he said that just to keep me going and whatever. I don't know.
Makes sense. Did you serve overseas?
Did I what?
Where did you serve overseas?
Oh, the Japan. We were the first replacements after the war in 11th Airborne Division. And 11th Airborne Division were stationed in northern Honshu up at Sendai, and we were in a little town, Yamagata, about 50 miles north of Sendai. And that's where all the 11th Airborne were. They were the first ones to Japan. They arrived there on August 29th. The newspaper said it was September 1st, the 1st Cavalry, but they weren't. 11th Airborne were there first. Yeah.
What did you do there?
Well, first of all, they had all your records, you know. And at that time, there wasn't many high school graduates. I was one of them. So right away, they had me a public relations man, mail clerk, in charge of quarters. That was working in the office when the first sergeant wasn't there and so forth. So I worked it more than in the office. I didn't do too much guard duty because of that. And they went on about 3 or 4 months. And then the war was over, so it wasn't that urgent anymore. So then they started baseball team, regimental baseball team. Well, I wanted to play ball. And I didn't know if I should or not, so I asked the company commander. I said, I want to play ball, but I said, I got these jobs. Well, he said, Hogsted, in this world, you're going to have to look out for yourself. That answered it right there. So I played ball all the rest of the time I was there. And I got to travel all over the northern part of Japan. We had our own car, sleeper car. We played ball maybe twice, two, three times a week. It was fun.
So did you ever serve in a war zone?
No.
During your time?
No combat. No combat at all. No, the war was entirely over before I left the States. Yeah.
Tell us about some of the people you met while you were in the military.
Oh, I met them from all over. When I first went in, I contacted pneumonia just when I was going to start training, basic training. And I was with everybody from the Midwest was in my battalion. So I got 6 weeks behind, and I got into a different outfit. And they were half from California and half Texans. So it got to be pretty interesting. And but in Japan, they were from all over. But I met a lot of good people.
Did you keep in contact with any of them?
No, I didn't. No, I should have, but we just didn't, no.
Did you take any pictures of
No, there were very few pictures. I didn't get any pictures, really. There was one fellow, we jumped in Japan. We had to jump twice to get paid in Japan. And on the way down, the one guy was taking pictures, and I know he had pictures of me coming down in the parachute, but he transferred out right afterwards, so I never got to see him. But they're around someplace.
What was that first parachute jump like?
Well, that was in training, and the best way to explain it is the first one, you didn't know what was going to happen. The second one, they thought you did, and the third one, you knew. It wasn't that hard. It was scary. Anybody that we had a sign, I don't know if it was in a plane or in our barracks. It said, anyone who jumps out of a plane and says they aren't scared is a liar. And I remember that so well. And also, we had another one that said, here, right above the door where we jumped out, to hear rank don't mean a thing. But we had a lot of good times, comical times, with seriousness too. But there were funny things that happened, you know. Like a jump master one time, he was leaning over, and he was kind of banking to make the second pass, and went over the Chattahoochee River in Georgia, and he fell out. Well, he had his own chute on, so he was okay. He had to pull the ripcord and floated down to the river.
What height are you at? How far up are you when you parachute?
They tried to make it about 1,200 feet. And if it was less than 800, they weren't supposed to jump you. And the one day they wanted to jump us so bad, and it was cloudy. And I know it wasn't 800. I think it was about 600, because I know the ground came up pretty fast. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long. Yeah. But it was supposed to be 1,200. I would have liked to go up about 2,000-3,000 feet and jump, because it was fun once the chute opened and you're falling down. It was excited. The anxiety was over, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. How long after you jump out of the plane do you have to pull your ripcord?
You don't pull anything.
You don't?
There is a static line about 15 feet long. It's hooked to a cable, and that pulled the chute out. And then on the end, there's the strings that hold that static line on it that breaks. And it takes about 3 seconds, it opens up. Because we'd count 1,001, 1,002, and just before you get to 1,003, you'd feel an opening shock. And that is very severe. Because I've seen break the shoelaces. We had our rifles strapped to our legs and our body, and with shoelaces double, and I seen them break them because the opening shock. You're just like a worm up there when you watch them.
Is that when you get pushed back up at that point?
That's when the chute opens up.
Yeah. And
you stop right there.
Okay.
Yeah. And you go down. They said that you dropped about, I don't know how fast you dropped, but the plane will go about 105 miles an hour. So you were jumping out and ahead at the same time, you know, but it was one of those things that I had to volunteer for it, but I had made up my mind. That's what I wanted to do. And one of my good friends from hometown, he left about 8 months before I did. And I told him what I was going to do. And I said, why don't you volunteer too? So he did. And we met in Japan. In fact, he was on the baseball team in North Hokkaido, the northern island in Japan. And we got to see each other twice and played against each other twice. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you leave the military?
I left it in, I think it was November of 46. Yeah, November 46, I was actually discharged. I came home in October of 46.
How long was your total length of time in the military?
It would be almost a year. Yeah, almost a year. Because the war was over, so that everybody was going home in a hurry, you know.
How did you feel about leaving?
Well, I had, I wanted to get out, to get back and be a civilian. And there were times later that I wished I would have stayed in, because I didn't take any advantage of the GI Bill of Rights, which I should have, because it was a good deal.
Were you married at the time you were drafted?
No, I wasn't married. I didn't get married till about, 8 years after I got out. It was a new hurry because I was still playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. What did you do right after you left the military?
I didn't do anything until spring, and then I worked on a farm. And I worked on two different farms about 4 years. Then I came to Moorhead. And then I was just, because the jobs, good jobs, weren't that hard to get, were harder to get, but it wasn't hard getting a job. I got a job hauling fuel oil, then I got into the repair business, worked for an electrical company, and repaired generators and welders and so forth.
Did you still play ball at that time?
Did I what?
Did you still play ball?
Yes, I did for about 4 years. I played ball after I got out in my hometown for 4 years, and we had a pretty good team. We were undefeated. And then I came to Fargo, and I played 4 years, to Moorhead, I should say. Then I played 4 years for the Fargo Park lead. And, in fact, I played against Roger Veras for 2 years. So I knew Roger real good.
Exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
But after that, I got married, and then no more ball.
How would you like to be remembered, Edgar?
I guess the main thing, being honest. I tried to be that in my work and everything else. Mm-hmm. Just being honest and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And helpful.
That's great. Do you have any final thoughts about what you went through during your time in the military? Serving your country?
Well, I was happy to do it. I didn't think that they were taking advantage of me or anything. And I didn't do much. I didn't do anything, really. But I was ready for it. Mm-hmm. And it was a good thing that it ended like it did. I mean, people I know didn't like the A-bomb exploding in Japan. But I belong to the VFW, and I think it was last year or the year before, they had a good article in there. You see, they can't publish them plans they had for so many years afterwards. But it was all planned out where everybody was going to be in Japan and when they invaded. And I would have been in a rough place, like a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
and they would have been dug in good, and it would have been a tough time. But I used to ask the Japanese over there about the A-bomb, and they said, B-29, big boom. He said, good, war over. They were all glad the war was over. So that's the one thing that I think Truman, he got a lot of flack over that, but it was probably a good thing.
Anything else you'd like to share? Comes to mind?
Not really, except that they had it in Japan. We weren't allowed to associate with the Japanese. We couldn't go into their restaurants, stuff like that. Then they went on pass. I never did go on pass. But they had places over there, a town that had a place, a non-commissions club. It was three stories, and one of them was for the ice cream and pop and all that. The next one was for liquor, and the third one was on top, summer garden, just in the summertime, and that was liquor too. And they had Japanese girls as waitresses, and they were good-looking girls, but it was comical because they talked just like we did, you know, because that's how they learned from us. But we talked slang, and we said cuss words, maybe some dirty words. They talked just like us. They didn't know any different, and it was actually comical in a way. Now, I don't know if I should say this, but we had prostitution houses there, and there were four of them in a row, and we were numbered 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, they weren't for the Japanese. They were girls inspected by army doctors, and the troops were the only ones that could go there. But pretty soon, MacArthur found out about it, and he closed them down. And maybe that was a good thing, I don't know, but the DD went up after that. But that the things were going on, but, you know, it was more wide open right after the war. But and then they also had a sake, and they had a beer. It was made out of rice. It was a very good beer. Well, 11th Airborne, they took over the whole brewery. And it was real good beer, but then we drank it all up. And so it got to be green, and it wasn't so good anymore. So there was a lot of things going on over there. But like I say, I never went on pass. I don't know. I didn't care about. But I had things to do, and I didn't care about it. And usually when they went on pass on a Friday night to go back on a Sunday night. Went by truck, 13 miles. And when they were gone, it was my job to be in the office. And that's one reason I didn't go. And I had to keep track of when they came back and all that. And at guard duty, I had to wake up the sergeant of the guard whenever he was supposed to go and change the guard. So I had to be on my toes for that. So I didn't care about it. And we saw a lot of movies in training and over there too, but mostly in training about VD and all that. And you were a little scared. I was. So I kept clean. Mm-hmm. And there were guys there that had girlfriends, Japanese girlfriends and all that. I don't know of anyone that took anyone home for a bride or anything like that, but we got along good with the Japanese people. A little of what I had to do with them. But we stayed in old Japanese barracks, and they were crude. They had their own wood stoves and so forth. And as I left there, they were going to build new ones for their troops. So I never did go back. I don't know what happened over there. But we had an airstrip at Yamagata. That was our closest town. And that's where we would jump off of and jump onto. We jumped on the airstrip. Go up in the air and come down again. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, else you can think of? So that's maybe about it.
Well, thank you, Ed.
Yeah, you're welcome. You.